Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everyone, and happy belated Thanksgiving to those of you here in the United States who might have been celebrating it, hoping that it was a wonderful holiday and that you got to enjoy the nice four-day weekend. Before we jump into today's show, Get Yourself the Job, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsors, the folks over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, and they also have an executive search function as well as payrolling and temporary services. So please do keep them in mind for any and all of your executive, temporary, or payroll staffing needs. Today we have with us on the show Stephen Mark Cahan. Stephen is the author of a new book published by Wiley and also Audible called Be a Startup Superstar. The book is a must-read for any job seeker or recent college graduate looking to turn their general business know-how into a successful career at a tech startup. Steve has successfully helped to grow seven startup companies from early stage development to going public or being sold, resulting in a total value of more than $3 billion. He brings passion and positive energy, and Steve inspires teams and their organizations to take on the impossible and succeed. He is best known for his ability to plan marketing strategy and execute it, enabling companies to accelerate revenue, grow market share, and consistently deliver superior returns to shareholders. In his current position as Thycotic's Chief Marketing Officer, he has helped take the company from $8 million to $100 million in only 4 years. It's been a similar story with other companies where he's brought his talents over the past three decades. Steve has given inspiring TED Talk presentations and was formerly a board member of Target Hunger in Houston. Steve attended college at Illinois State University, where he earned his bachelor's degree in speech communication. He's an avid paddleboarder, and he taught himself to play the guitar. He and his wife of 30 years live in Texas and have two children, one grandchildren, and from what Steve and I were just talking about offline, he has one on the way, correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this holiday season, Stephen. I mean, what a bio you have there. That's pretty incredible. What's the secret? Before we dive into how people can get a job, I want to know what the secret is and how you became the expert at this.
Well, quite frankly, there is no secret. It's really just a lot of hard work and making a lot of mistakes and learning from them and having the opportunity to work with hundreds of amazingly smart and talented startup entrepreneurs. So I've been very fortunate to have been around some outstanding people that have helped me to achieve the small amount of success that I've had.
I think it's so brilliant that you just said that. I was listening to another podcast earlier today, and they were talking about how anybody who's achieved any amount of success in their lives, it's all because of the people who have mentored them and helped them grow. I know I personally wouldn't have gotten to where I am today had it not been for the 8 or 9 people who I've been fortunate enough to call friends and mentors over the last 15 years.
Absolutely. I feel the exact same way.
Yeah, so tell me, you're somebody who obviously is concerned about the career prospects for college graduates and young professionals. What motivated you to care so much and to want to help young professionals get into the tech startup world if that is their passion?
Well, I am concerned. And Jennifer, what I've learned through my research is nearly 14% of college graduates with a bachelor's degree within their first year are unemployed. And nearly 43% are underemployed. And what's more, according to a friend of mine, Josiah Sternfeld, who's a professor at the University of Texas McCombs School of Business, when he asks his students where they plan to work once they graduate, the overwhelming majority say a large corporation, in spite of the fact that 65% of all new jobs since 1995 have been created by startups. And if you Google the phrase, people who feel stuck in their corporate jobs, It's amazing. You'll get nearly 300 million results. So that's a lot of content, and there must be a lot of people who feel this way. So bottom line, I believe this means, in spite of what most would say is a good economy and very low unemployment, that we have an epidemic on our hands, that too many people are not really looking at startups and small businesses that might that are desperate to hire and might offer a viable and great career solution for many people.
Well, let's talk about what a startup is. Can you define for our listeners what a startup is and how it's different than a traditional corporation?
Sure. So according to the United States Small Business Administration, a startup is a company that's been in business for under a year and is in the formative stages. But to me, that actually paints a poor picture of what defines a startup. And according to Doug Irwin, who's the chairman of a venture capital company and serial technology entrepreneur, he offers a far more instructive definition. Doug says that a startup is a company that operates like it's the last frontier for outlaws, a place where nonconformists can live, create, and sell their ideas. And to me, who doesn't want to be involved in that? Because it's a place where you get to be the rough-riding rebel running circles around large bureaucratic organizations. So really, to me, a startup is not so much size. It's a culture. It's a mindset. It's working oftentimes with a small team of crazies that are hell-bent on changing the world. To me, that's how I view startups.
Well, we hear a lot, though, about how startups fail. I don't know the exact percentages, and I'm sure you would probably be able to tell our listeners more about that. How do you even begin to ascertain if it's a good idea? Because it seems like, okay, let's say that you go work for a Target or a large accounting firm or whoever it might be. It seems like you have a pretty tried and true business model. You'll likely get your next paycheck, as opposed to sometimes you hear horror stories about startups closing overnight. How do you determine whether it's a safe bet to go and work for a particular startup?
I think the key is what I've learned is that there's some criteria that you could look at to separate a startup with a good story versus a startup that has both a good story as well as a good chance at success. And so I've been blessed. So I've worked with a number of startups that have sold or have gone public. And I guess if it's just was one, maybe it would be luck, but it's happened multiple times. And so here's what I look for. So first and foremost, I look for companies where their concept fills a big market need. And what I've learned is that buyers don't spend money on nice-to-solve problems. They spend their money on must-solve problems. So what you want to be able to do first is to make sure that the company fills a market need and read what influencers and experts say online to really understand, is there a market for the products? And what makes the company unique and set it apart from its competitors. And don't worry too much about competition. Worry if there's no competition, because the competition means that there's a market. And so I look at that. And I guess secondly, I look for if it is a great product that you can believe in. And so research the detailed descriptions of the product or service the company is offering and decide if it resonates with you. Do you believe in it? Would you purchase, use, or recommend it? And so you want to work with startups where you can go to work every day with a passion for what the company creates and your role in creating it. And if you can't get behind it with enthusiasm, move on. And I guess the third major criteria that I would recommend is to make sure that the startup is well-funded. So naturally, you want to choose a startup that has a long enough runway to get off the ground. And so before you take a job, find out how the company is funded. and try your best to make sure that they're properly capitalized so you have the best chance for both growth and more stability as you're embarking on your venture at a startup company.
So I think those are great points. And let's talk a little bit now about the pros and cons of working for a startup versus working for a corporation. Obviously, one of the pros of working for a corporation, there's the stability. You don't have to worry about capitalization as much in a corporate sort of setting, especially with a tried and true company. But could you walk me through a few of the other pros and cons of going the corporate route versus the startup route?
So the way I look at large corporations, where I actually started my career, what I quickly saw and what I've learned over the years partnering with many people who, for example, work at some of the largest corporations in the world, is oftentimes what you'll find is that they are burdened with incumbent mindsets, where the barriers to advancement are oftentimes pretty high, and you could get pigeonholed in smaller roles. And they're oftentimes like giant ships. They're hard to maneuver, they're slow to change course, there tends to be more bureaucracy and acceptance of the status quo. And I sort of differentiate that versus startups. So when you think of those giant ships that are those large corporations, I think of startups as speedboats darting around, where there's more innovation, where things move fast, and you've got to be very nimble, sort of have that, in air quotes, startup mentality. You have a better chance to get to the C-suite. And there's risk, no doubt about it. There's frequent change. There's less training. There's not a ton of defined career paths, so some don't make it. But if you're entrepreneurial, a startup is absolutely where you want to be.
When you say entrepreneurial, what does that mean? People toss around this word entrepreneurial. How do you know if you're entrepreneurial?
I think, to me, entrepreneurial, one way to sort of give an example of that in my mind, it first and foremost starts with initiative, where you sort of are focused on taking initiative, thinking about, spending the time to think about and act on big ideas, where you're not afraid of versatility in your role. So, you know, for example, if you get hired to fill a role in an established business, that's exactly what they expect you to do, is to fill that role. As opposed to oftentimes at a startup, there you'll get the opportunity to wear many hats by filling many different roles, oftentimes within various departments. And so because there is a lot of the lack of formal definition that you will find in a big organization, those that are willing to be innovative, those that are willing to take calculated risks and some chances along the way, those that are willing to sort of summon the courage to make tough decisions to go on, or aren't dissuaded when competitors make big, bold moves. To me, that's sort of the essence of some of the things that characterize an entrepreneur. And notice that I didn't necessarily say that that it's all about the financial rewards in that definition. Yes, that's nice if you're successful, and that certainly will come. But if you have enough drive, it's very, very possible where the advancement opportunities are huge within startups, because they'll be looking for those that help it achieve success to take on bigger and more as the company grows. And entrepreneurs love that. They don't shy away from it, not for a second.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I've noticed as an entrepreneur myself and from fellow entrepreneurs that's kind of exciting is that depending on the structure of the startup, there's also the opportunity for a bigger earnout than if you took kind of the more conservative corporate job where you're going to get paid a certain amount, it's fixed, and yes, there's less risk, but sometimes there could be huge earnouts in startups.
You know, I really agree with that. I'll give you an example that illustrates that. If you think about getting into the C-suite in the Fortune 500, right? And whether you're new starting out your career or you're thinking about building your career from where it is today. And so getting into the C-suite in the Fortune 500, I sort of have two words for you, and they are good luck. And part of that is, obviously, there can only be 500 CEO positions in the Fortune 500 and maybe 5,000 in the C-suite all told. And many of those people stay in their jobs for years. So that means when you think of advancement, that your odds of getting in the C-suite in the Fortune 500 are about the same as your odds of being drafted into the National Football League, where 254 players are selected in each year's NFL draft. If you compare that to the 46,000 startups in the United States alone, and you can obviously see there are far more executive leadership opportunities.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's a great opportunity too. I have seen people pivot the opposite direction. I've seen people start off in startup, and there's nothing wrong with this, but I think it has to do with how risk tolerant you were. There was a great consulting group we had on the show about a year or two ago. I want to say it was called Rose International Consulting. And they administered this test that said whether you were chaos tolerant or non-chaos tolerant. And there was flexible or I think fixed or organized. I am not remembering exactly, but I remember the chaos tolerant versus non-chaos tolerant. And I think that some people might jump into the startup world thinking they're chaos tolerant, and then not realize that they're a little bit more conservative and need something a little bit more stable, in which case it's a great way to start off as a CEO, CMO, CTO of a startup, and then leverage that experience to eventually pivot into a C-suite role in a Fortune 500 company.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the cool things, and certainly this happened to me, is that once I joined in the startup world, at least early in my career, I was the only one in marketing. And I knew very little about marketing. But what that meant was I had to learn, and I had to learn fast. And what was so cool about that was that I had the opportunity to do everything. And I would never get that opportunity to try different things, to learn different things, to fail at stuff. And eventually, as time went by, I really started to build up a number of skills that I never would have had the chance to even explore without having that wonderful opportunity at a young age.
So tell our listeners a little bit about how you made that transition. I think you started in Fortune 500 and then jumped into startups, correct?
I did. And so I started in a large corporation. And what I quickly learned that the traditional path from school to climbing the corporate ladder was not only high risk for my career, it almost felt like a death trap. And I remember so many times when I was growing up, my father used to tell me, say, Steve, get your degree, go to work for a large corporation, you work hard, they'll take care of you, and you will have a great career. And, of course, your mother and I would much prefer that you become a doctor or a lawyer. But short of that, getting a job at a large corporation will do. So I sort of had it pounded into me. And I was about a year and a half in, and I opened up my bank statement. And once again, I was down to $50 in my bank account. I was 22 years old, and I worked in a cubicle on the fourth floor of a nondescript office building in Schaumburg, Illinois. And I remember sort of staring at my bank statement and the pile of claims I was supposed to process that day, wondering how on earth will I ever get ahead? And I'd work long days, and the student loans seemed to take a hold of my paychecks before they ever got a chance to hit my bank account. And so I asked myself a simple question, and that was, how do I earn a great living doing what I love? And I started researching startups, made that move, made all the mistakes in the world when I first started, but I made that move and I've never looked back.
Wow, I love that. So let's talk for any of our listeners out there, whether they're looking, they're maybe working in the corporate world now, or perhaps they're just starting off their careers. What are some characteristics or attributes that a startup company is going to look for when they're hiring?
So I will tell you what people, I work within the technology space and have worked in cybersecurity. And I think a lot of people equate startups with companies that are techies, right? And so if you have some sort of tech skill in some way, I couldn't code even one line of code, right? And so what people look for are things like those that will embrace accountability to get things done, people who communicate in thoughtful, smart, confident, and respectful ways, people who are not I people, but we people. So, of course, the I people are sort of the ones that take all the credit versus more we people being team-oriented. People who are prepared to work hard because there's no easy button, who have persistence and tenacity, a willingness to learn and to pay attention to the details. It's really those attributes that I found that make really great startup entrepreneurs. But quite frankly, in many ways, that just makes a successful person.
Yeah, I think those are great attributes no matter what sort of job that you're looking for. And I think one thing I would say from the people I know who have been in the startup world is resiliency. I think that when you're in the startup field, you have to ping pong ball. Like you just jump from there to there to there. And you might have a really down day where, like you said, your competition comes out with something that looks like it's going to smite your current project or outdo you. And then you have to rethink your entire strategy and how you're going to execute and compete with them, where I think that you're a little bit more protected in a larger corporation against the ups and the downs of the day-to-day business. So the people I know who I've seen who have been successful entrepreneurs, definitely they embody and are the resilient type.
There are constant obstacles in at startups and every day, right? And the real key is, and some of them are big, right? And some of them are kind of hairy and tough. The key is having the mindset where no matter how big that obstacle may be, and not dealing with it with the proper dose of reality, but not blowing each obstacle up that might be a speed bump into Mount Everest, right? And that certainly is a way of thinking. And certainly, I think, illustrates a lot of what you were just saying.
Yeah, and let's talk, are the interviews, because I never personally sat in on an interview that was a startup interview, how are they similar or dissimilar from a corporate interview? Are there different questions that somebody might be posed as opposed to a more corporate sort of interview?
I think that they tend to be far less formal, right? So if you're going to a startup and you're, for example, I was recruited by Microsoft at a pretty big role a number of years ago, and it was extremely formal, and they pulled out all the stops and found out that my son was a big video game lover, and an Xbox showed up at my house the next day, right? So that's probably not going to happen at a startup, right? And so what I think is really key is, first and foremost, is startup executives, they want to know why you, and they want to know it in the first 60 seconds. So one piece of advice that I would give is a lot of people memorize the elevator pitches for the companies that they work for, but they don't have one for themselves. And as I mentioned, startup executives, they want to know why you, and they want to know it quick. And so I think that is key. And then I think there are a number of questions that sort of illustrate you as a candidate's sort of smarts and capability that you really ought to ask that could really set yourself apart. For example, if you ask some of the folks that you're interviewing with, why is now the time for your company to exist? Or what do you love about your team? And why are you the ones to solve the problem? Or tell us about your first paying customer and the revenue expectations over the next year? Or who are your investors and why did you choose them? Or another great one that I would highly recommend that people ask is, if you weren't building a startup, what would you be doing? Which just sort of gets at kind of their own values and do they align with yours, and you really get a chance to see if you would click with the people that you're interviewing with.
So it sounds like, I mean, there are a lot of pros to startups. There are these interesting questions and oftentimes a more casual environment. I've even noticed for job seekers that have gone into startup interviews, it's a much more casual attire often too, right? Like it might not be as appropriate to show up in a formal suit and tie if you're a man, or a full skirt or pantsuit if you're a woman. Do you agree with that? Or do you find that they appreciate it more if you dress up?
I think the key is doing just a little bit of homework and finding out about the company. I mean, I probably would always recommend at least a business casual. I personally, if there's a day that I'm not wearing jeans at work, I can't remember that day. but I do think that it really starts out with doing a little bit of research on the company to find out what the culture is like, and you know, maybe even doing a drive-by and checking out the office before you go there to really get a sense of what the company is all about. Looking at their blogs, right? Oftentimes there are posts of pictures of people at the company, and you could kind of see how they are, what they're wearing, are they having fun, things like that.
And where do people find startup opportunities? It seems like it might be a little bit harder to get recruited for a startup or to identify those jobs because the people at startups might not have it in their budgets to be using tools like LinkedIn Recruiter or the more expensive recruiting tools.
Yeah, I think that there are a couple of overlooked places to find great jobs at startups. So first of all, there are accelerators really within almost every single city, and these accelerators essentially exist to help the startup leaders at companies build and grow their companies. They might oftentimes fund their companies and so on. And so if you Google technology accelerators, for example, in LA, you'll find a list, and then oftentimes they will then list their companies that they're funding, and their companies post their jobs right there online, right? And so there's some really cool ways to and easy ways to find jobs through the technology or other startup accelerator websites. And I think another way that tends to be overlooked is engaging with startup leaders online. So for example, I've had a few people over the years who are interested in growing their careers contact me via LinkedIn, for example, with a very sincere message, right? Because you know, people such as myself or others are very busy people, and so you may get some messages like this. But what you'll often find is if you just do a little bit of homework and you're contacting people in a sincere, thoughtful way, all of us, I certainly do, realize all the amazing mentors and great help that I have had over the years. And you understand and realize, particularly if you are someone who values giving back, to talk to people who contact you in a heartfelt and personal way. And when you have a chance to do that, and you're sort of then shifting the conversation to yourself and how, for example, you might be able to best pursue the particular career that you're interested in, based on the person that you're speaking with, then you'll get the opportunity to say a little bit about yourself. And what you'll find is that today's startups are desperate for hiring. and they need talent all over. And so directly contacting executives at these companies through some of the social sites like LinkedIn is a great way to be able to introduce yourself, cut through perhaps maybe some of the bureaucracy or red tape associated with going right to the hiring manager and perhaps finding some great opportunities.
Yeah, I've personally been a huge advocate of that. I teach recent grads or people who are looking to change careers. A great way is just send a thoughtful email and reach out and ask, or even better, another suggestion I give people, Steve, is to write a paper or a blog. So that's how Mark Victor Hansen, who is my writing coach years ago, taught me that if you want to do anything, say you want to get somebody hard to get on the phone, whether it's the CEO of a startup or a Fortune 500 company, if you reach out to the person for their expertise, and it might just be as a mentor, or if perhaps you say to them, "Hey, Steve, I noticed you're a startup expert. I recently read your book. I would love 5 minutes of your time. Please let me know if, you know, there's anything that you could do. I'm writing this article on how startups are impacting, you know, the global economy." I find that when people do that, that can be extremely valuable as well. Even if you, that's how I did the first interviews when I started writing my first book, and how I wrote a couple of white papers and got expert feedback on it, is you can reach out to just about anybody and ask them for a quote or some feedback. And it may or may not ever get published, but you're developing a relationship and you're also doing research on a field that you might be interested in.
Absolutely. I think that that people, for whatever reason, might be intimidated or feel that many people won't respond. And what I would say, much like what you've experienced, is don't get discouraged if you don't get a response. You will, right? And so long as it's sincere and you've done your homework and you're going to that person very concisely and sort of suggest that next follow-up and what that might be and make it easy, you will be surprised how many people you'll be able to break through to.
Yeah, people want to help. That's the thing, is that we all, those of us who have had some semblance of success in our careers, we got here because somebody else helped us. And so the more that we can pay it forward and help pull other people into the C-suite or into successful careers, it's really, truly a gift to be able to give. And it's funny, actually, last week I was in Africa building a school with local villagers, and I had this incredible opportunity to talk to 40 of the women in the village about some of the topics concerning their village and the culture over there. And we were talking about this idea of giving and receiving, because it was actually on Thanksgiving Day, ironically, that I was there in the village with the women talking about this. And they said in their culture, they have a saying that a hand that isn't open and available to give will never be able to receive. And so I think that's how a lot of us who are entrepreneurs or executives in companies feel, is that we're not going to be able to get anything or receive anything if we're not always giving back and reinforcing all the people who laid the path for us.
Absolutely. Love it. And people are more willing to help others on their path ahead than most people might ever realize.
Exactly. It's a true joy to be able to give back. So tell our listeners, Steve, are there any takeaways or any questions that I didn't get a chance to ask you that you'd love to leave our listeners with today?
I would think that my big takeaway that I'd like to offer up listeners is that today's startups have big ideas and they're well-funded. And they are desperate to hire smart, motivated, hardworking people willing to share their talents in innovative workspaces that are buzzing with energy and opportunity. So if you want to earn a great living doing what you love for the right startup, you could be a godsend.
Yeah, I completely agree. And don't be afraid. You know, you might have that one talent that somebody, a startup or a corporation, could really use, but you'll never know unless you put yourself out there and just be courageous and go after whatever it is you're passionate about. Better to trip and fall and fail. Those of us who are entrepreneurs have done that thousands, hundreds, tens of thousands of times. And you just dust yourself off, learn the lesson, and move forward and learn from the next experience.
Absolutely.
So tell our listeners, Stephen, obviously you have so much great information. We didn't even really get to dive into the book called Be a Startup Superstar that just came out. Can you tell our listeners where they might be able to find the book or any other information that they could find on you out there?
Sure. So the book is available at beastartupsuperstar.com or wherever you would buy books online. And it's really geared towards college graduates and professionals who feel stuck in their careers. And the book essentially covers three topics. Why work for a startup over a large corporation? Secondly, how to find and land the best job at a startup. And then third, once you've decided to join a startup, how you could zoom to the C-suite. And what I've done is I've put together what I have categorized as the 7 keys to the C-suite, where there are 35 actions, attitudes, and behaviors one should exhibit to maximize their success at a startup.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, Stephen. It's been such a privilege and an honor to have you on the show and get to pick your brain and have you share your wisdom with all of our listeners out there today. So thank you so much for everybody who tuned in today. Thank you to Steve for joining us and sharing with us his wisdom on startup cultures and the pros and cons. I think I feel more knowledgeable about the startup world after having had this conversation. And I do invite you, if you missed any portion of today's show, to check later in the week on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. You'll be able to download this whole show as well as any of the other shows that we've had on over the last 3.5 years. Please do leave us any ratings or feedback. It's only through your feedback and ratings that we can help reach more listeners and to gear the show towards what really matters to you as the listener. And we also invite you to find us on Facebook under Get Yourself the Job on Facebook. Or if you prefer to get the show earlier, if there was a little tidbit that Stephen shared that you really want to listen to right away, within a couple of minutes of the show wrapping up, you'll typically be able to find the episode on latalkradio.com, channel 1, under Get Yourself the Job at the bottom of the page in the archive section. So once again, thank you so much for tuning in today. Happy holidays to everybody. And thanks so much for joining us today, Steve.
Thank you.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.